the OTB Podcast Network.
Well, Vinny, it finished 3-1 to Aston Villa at Villa Park. It looked for a while we mightn't get a goal in that match, but Mitrovic was the man to break the deadlock, bringing that good form in from the World Cup qualifiers, of course, getting those 5 goals in 3 international matches. He breaks the deadlock, but then Aston Villa managed to turn it around. So what do you think was the key difference there today, and how did Aston Villa manage to turn that game around, come from behind?
I think Villa were very good. They're in the sense of the changes off the bench. They were poor up to that moment, there's no doubt about it, and it looked like Fulham were going to run away with the game. But to be fair to Villa, they changed it up. Davies came on, went up front. Sanson hadn't played well at all, and he gave them a real presence, and Gazze was really poor for Villa, and Trezeguet came on, and ultimately the two of them in particular changed the game, and they brought on Ramsey for Douglas Luiz. So they went very attack minded, had a real cut off it, and ultimately Fulham were undone by a little bit of class from Trezeguet in particular. Davis robbed the centre half and a brilliant cross, and it was game, set and match. But Villa's bench won the game for them, and ultimately they've made big decisions, changed the game, and it's worked out for them.
Yeah, it's strange because when you look at that bench straight off the bat, you kind of look at that Villa bench, you're thinking there's not a huge amount of quality or, you know, players that you might find a threat to another team late in the game like that. But Trezeguet, he hasn't scored this season, come off the bench, scores twice, and I thought Ramsey looked very good as well, the academy player, and Davis as well, who has been maybe a bit of an average performer for Aston Villa when he has played for them, but again, he was really good as well.
Yeah, like, to be fair to him, he's a young boy, he played for England under-20s, and but he looked strong and physical, and he put himself about, and to be fair, Watkins didn't do a lot in the game. He's obviously a threat, he's a good goal scorer when he gets the chance, but Davies just came on and gave them that little bit of something different, and I think Scott Parker would be disappointed. He probably would have, if he had the time again, he would make his own changes a little bit earlier. He was just about to bring Robinson on the right back on just before they scored, so he was probably ready to shut up shop. But as I said, Trezeguet came on, looked like he had something to prove. He had a couple of snapshots, he won free kicks, and he was real hungry, and that's what you want as a manager. You look to your bench and people have a real hunger. And it was interesting as well, because I really felt the game was crying out for someone like Ross Barkley. And I think he's a real star, but his career is falling apart at the moment for whatever reason. So interesting. And obviously the manager knows best, and he brought on, as you said, Ramsby in that position. And they were worthy winners in the end for that 15-minute spell, because of that 15-minute spell at the end.
Aston Villa have gone, just look at the table here, and they're 44 points, so 5 points behind Tottenham Hotspur, who are in fifth place. Dean Smith be kind of thinking now, well, we might get a Europa League place here out of this.
Yeah, well, you like to think he is, and you've got to have that belief. You always, like, the thing about Villa is they can't be a club who's just happy to be mid-table. And listen, it just shows you the value of sticking with the manager. Dean Smith was under a lot of pressure throughout last season. They've stuck with him. Now they might fight off relegation last year. Now they might fight towards a European battle, and I think he deserves huge credit. I would like to think that thinking, can we get into Europe, can we get an Europa League spot, whatever. There's a lot of teams in between them and Spurs in that position, but they're probably just short, I would say, of, you know, they missed Jack Grealish today. In a tougher games, they need more than what they have on the pitch, and probably just short of one or two players to make the big moments for them and win games of football.
Yeah, that's just their second win in the 7 matches he's been absent. Just looking at Aston Villa then in general for this season, because I have to admit, Vinny, I thought they were going to be, you know, in trouble for relegation this season. And Dean Smith and John Terry have done a brilliant job there, as have the players. What do you think has been the key ingredient there for them?
I think John Terry has played a massive part. I think defensively they've been really good, and they speak about Terry working with the defenders. Dean Smith has obviously managed all of this, and the manager ultimately takes full responsibility for how good it's been. I think the recruitment of Martinez and goal has been excellent. I think Arsenal should really look at themselves in the mirror. They've made a massive error there. I think Martinez looks like he's one of the best keepers in the league. He's thereabouts. Cash, excellent. Target, excellent. And Mins, albeit he made a bad mistake today, they've been excellent as a back four. I think Douglas Luiz is a real good player. John McGinn has done well for them as well, and that's the platform to allow the likes of Jack Grealish to do his business. And they've tried a lot of players, whether it's been Traoré, Trezeguet, it was El Ghazi today. They've tried all them. It hasn't really worked, but they're built on a good, solid formation, and the platform that the back four, including the goalkeeper, gives them is huge, and that's really ultimately what they're built on.
These links with Manchester City seem to be getting stronger with a move for Jack Grealish, and I think in fact they were talking about there's a buyback clause there for Douglas Luiz, a former Man City player. They were going to waive that buyback clause if that was going to help the transfer get done. That is newspaper speculation. I know Aston Villa fans might get frustrated every season talking about their best player being linked with a move away, but Pep Guardiola has said that he does admire Jack Grealish and he'd like him there. What do you think is the best move for Aston Villa? Do they try and get as big a fee as they can for Jack Grealish? Do they try and hang on to him?
Look, it's one of them things that's never going to go away as long as he's at Villa, because unless Villa are in the top four or five, then Jack Grealish is going to be linked with the bigger and better clubs. That's just the way it is. You'd like to think Villa have ambitions to be able to get into that sort of break into the top six. They're a big enough club. They don't have the finances, albeit yet. So you'd like to think they want to hold on to Jack Grealish, but it's going to be very difficult. Players like Jack Grealish wants to play at the highest level. He wants to experience Champions League football. He wants to be in the England squad. And whether you like it or not, if you're a Villa fan, if he's playing for Man City, Manchester United, any of those top teams, he will be in the England squad inevitably, and he'll be playing Champions League football. So unless Villa can give him that over the next sort of 18 months, 2 years, he's going to move on, and I think it's inevitable. So for Villa, it's probably a time of cashing as quickly as possible, I would say, and rebuild as a result and spend that money, because they need more than Jack Grealish to improve as a club. They need somebody else in that sort of, probably I would say, number 10 position that gives them a bit more. And so they may do what, remember Liverpool spent Suarez money all them years ago and spent, or Coutinho's money. Villa might have to cash in and spend that money wisely and see, can they find a couple of good players? A
bit wiser than Tottenham did with the Bale money perhaps as well. But yeah, we'll be interesting to watch. I'm sure Grealish will be a man on fire because he's only got a certain amount of games now to prove himself to the England manager, Gareth Southgate. But looking at the Fulham manager, Scott Parker, there he has 3 points almost in the bag with about 20 minutes to go. Just under 20 or under 30, I should say, with Mitrovic getting that goal. And it must be really deflating because they had so much going for them going into that match. Newcastle dropped points against Tottenham Hotspur. Mitrovic was playing really well. And Fulham looked like they might get a 3 points, which would take them out of the relegation zone. They must be really deflated now. It'll be hard to pick themselves up after it.
Yeah, that'll be a tough blow. But again, they're only sort of a win away from getting out of that bottom three. And they look for positives. I think Parker's done a good job by and large. The start of the season was horrendous and they've rebuilt the team. They play a nice way. A lot of, like, their back four, the two fullbacks are 24, centre halves 24, 23. I think that's a side that could be really strong over the next couple of years if they stay in the league this year. Albeit a couple of players on loan. Really, really strong goalkeeper. Again, and the two, Reid and particularly in front of them, they've a real platform, and they don't concede a lot of goals, and that will give them a chance. It'll give them a chance. But today, they just seem to run out of legs at the end. And I think if Parker, as I said earlier on, had his time again, he would probably make changes a little bit quicker than he did. And I suppose that comes from experience for Parker, and he has to learn from that. And so it was disappointing for him. I thought Mitrovic the last 15 minutes was completely empty. He had nothing left to give, but to be honest, his work rate for the first 65 minutes was outstanding. And but he should have changed that up a little bit quicker, and he'll have regrets, no doubt about it. And Newcastle used sort of relief today. They've just about stayed out of the bottom three.
Yeah, and they've got a game in hand as well. Do you think Fulham have quality there? Have they got enough quality? And if Mitrovic, well, of course they need him to score goals, but have they got enough there to try and climb out of this?
What I'd say is, like, the likes of Reid and players of that nature just don't. He's the top scorer, I think, with five, maybe Mitrovic. That's just not enough. They're very solid, and they look like they're not going to concede goals, so that's a positive. And that's huge. But ultimately, you've got to win games of football, and It sounds ridiculous. You can be on a great run and have four draws and think you're doing really great. You could lose 3-0 and 3-0 and then win the next two games. You're 2 points better off. So basically on long-winded way saying, goal change games. Yeah. Winning games is huge, and 3 points is massive at this stage of the season. And so I would be concerned. I'd like to see Fulham stay in the league. I'm just not sure at the expense of who at the moment.
Yeah.
But I think Parker's done well.
I'll ask you about that in a moment. Just on Mitrovic, because he got a lot of criticism the last couple of weeks. People were saying, well, he's scoring a lot of goals for Serbia. Why doesn't he ever do this against or for Fulham? He scored two against Leeds, second day of the season. He's been drawing blanks ever since. But I'd argue perhaps that he doesn't have a player like Dusan Tadic in the Serbian team to set those goals up from on a plate. There's nobody in the Fulham team really like that.
No, there's not. And they're lacking that little bit of quality in the wide areas and the number 10 role. There's no doubt about it. But I think ultimately one thing he doesn't get the credit for is his work rate is phenomenal, and that gives the team a platform. But he's lost his place there, because I suppose Parker would look at it and say, we need someone who's going to score goals. So he keeps trying different things, whether it was Maja up front, and it just hasn't worked out. And I don't think it's necessarily his responsibility. I think he needs help in hand to create them chances. There was an incident in the game earlier on where he'd gone and closed the keeper down on his own and probably sprinted 30 yards, and no one has gone with him. So he felt a little bit grieved at that. And even the goal he scored today is all his hard work. Yes, it's a mistake by Mings, but he's working his backside off to create that chance. And but look, I would say he would score goals at a higher club with better players around him. But at the same time, Fulham really need him to hit form between now and the end of the season.
And just to finish, because there was that fascinating game we had on Off the Ball earlier between Newcastle and Tottenham. It finished 2-2. Newcastle were atrocious in their last game before the break. They got beaten by Brighton by 3-0 away from home. They were just... I watched that game thinking, this looks like a team going down. But to get that last minute, well, late equaliser, I should say, against Tottenham today at St James's Park, Joe Willock, how much is that going to spur them on now? Do you think that they will have enough now to perhaps just fight off that challenge from Fulham?
We don't know. Fulham is so up and down. They could be beaten 3-0 or 4-0 in the next game. Newcastle, should I say, you just don't know what they're going to get from them from 1 week to the other. And I think that was typified today. I thought they were excellent against Spurs, deserved the point, but we just don't know what we're going to get from them. It seems to be, you know, a really tough shift for Steve Bruce just to keep the ship afloat there. So we just don't know. A lot of money spent. There doesn't seem to be the same cohesion in that team as there is with the Fulham team. I'd rather be in the position in Newcastle, but I'd nearly rather have Fulham squad to stay up with, if that makes sense. So it's going to be touch and go, but we just don't know. I would say Newcastle are favourites because they've 3 points better off, but I wouldn't write Fulham off in a hurry. I'd be worried if I was a Newcastle fan.
Something that keeps us interested with the title all wrapped up, really, by City, but also to keep us interested is the top four battle.
Yeah.
Tottenham, as me and you were watching the game beforehand, you said, well, Tottenham have gone from top four to out of the top four. They had a brilliant chance. West Brom with a shock result yesterday, beating Chelsea. And Tottenham have just thrown it away.
Yeah, no, it's been a good weekend for Liverpool in that sense, because their win, difficult tie, you would expect going to Arsenal, and they got back to their very best. Great weekend for Liverpool. Leicester losing, so that helped them as well and puts a little bit of pressure on Leicester, but it's still all to play for. I think you'd like to think it was just a bad result for Chelsea. They seem to have turned things around, and Spurs just can't afford. Newcastle is a side they would have expected to beat. Can't afford to drop points like that. But to be fair, we can all criticise Mourinho all you want. He was very close to putting the side back into the top four. And with that Spurs side, that'd be a good achievement for him. So it's all to play for. But again, I'd rather have Chelsea's points, but I'd like to have Liverpool's squad trying to get back in the back four. I think they may have turned the corner. So it's an interesting running.
Thanks, Vinny.
Cheers, thank you.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.